I had many thoughts during the time of his discourse, and I've got to quote Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed.
Right.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Then it's still with the same people.
That's right. It's still right.
But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. If I didn't believe that, I feel like I'd probably be one of the most miserable people searching diligently upon this earth among all the different flavors of religion, trying to find. I'd be concerned with that to such extent to where it would exclude all other endeavor. I'd be searching for that kingdom that stands forever. It's there. It's out there. It's here. This is it.
Yeah.
I feel that I, to follow my feelings, that I must deal with a subject just for a short few minutes. As Brother Joe was preaching about the SOS, it reminded me that I heard him preach in Georgia an outstanding discourse based on three questions that was on a marquee of a church out front that he drove by. What were those three questions?
Are you packed up? Are you prayed up?
Are you ready to go? Are you packed up? Are you prayed up? I don't know. What are you going to pack up? I've never seen a U-Haul hooked to a hearse yet. What are you going to pray up? No, you'll never get prayed up as long as you live in this world. Are you ready to go? That was the last question. I just wanted to share that with you briefly. He prayed a beautiful sermon on those three questions. No, you can't pack up anything. It's done. It's too late. As long as you live in this world, you get, each day you live, you got to keep praying. So you're not prayed up. Are you ready to go? There's times when I am, when I'm in the Spirit. But when the Lord's ready, that's what's more important. Not are you ready, but it's when He's ready.
Yeah.
When He's ready, we're going to go. I have opened my Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I would like to say something about the word perfect in that verse, just for a few minutes. The word perfect right here is very interesting. Be ye therefore perfect. The word therefore is in there because you need to read the first 47 verses of that Sermon on the Mount. Because of all the things in the first 47, be ye therefore perfect. I have striven diligently, precisely, articulately, to the needle-threading extent in many endeavors in my life to build that or to perfect that or to bring that to perfection. I have tried to technically, precisely, with tools and squares and levels to build, and I know some of you have, Brother George, I know you do, to make that as perfect as you can get it. I have labored diligently in recording sessions. Have you ever been to one of these recording sessions where every singer's voice and every thing has got to be just perfectly in time and in harmony and unity, and even the infliction and the enunciation of the word has got to be void of any colloquialism or accent or something that would stand out above other voices, that it would blend. And I have seen it to where you record that thing over till you're sick of the song. And just about the time you get to where you're sick of it, you're doing it just right. Because they're trying to do it perfect to the ear. But this perfection here is in the heart. That's where this one is. And you're to be perfect in the heart. Why do I know that's where it is? It said, even as he is perfect. Now, out here in nature, in the natural side of man, you cannot be perfect. Everything I've ever done, I come short of. We've all sinned and come short, Romans 3:23. But this perfection means a mature attitude. It means looking to him that is perfect. 5:9 of Hebrews says, he, being a son, yet became perfect or complete through obedience. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He became being made perfect, he became the author. He became the completion of our salvation. We are to strive with our attitudes and our minds and our inner being to be perfect. How can I be? By seeing his perfection. See that? If I see perfection in him, I'm perfect. Now, I'm not talking about eternal salvation only. I'm talking about day by day by day. I come to the close of each day and I read in the scripture where you're still an unprofitable servant. But I can lay down and rest comfortably at night when I see the perfection in you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Have you ever read that and wondered why he told us to do that? I can be perfect by glorying in him because he's perfect. And I'm glorying in that perfection. If I turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, I read, and this is talking gospel in there, whom we preach, I can back up and tell you that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm preaching that every man is perfect in Christ Jesus. I can preach that. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now see, I'm not off base when I read that scripture to be ye perfect, even as he is perfect. I can preach that because we present every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. And you go home at night and you lay down and you say, or you might tell your wife, boy, I just didn't do any good today. Murphy's Law ruled everything I did. Whatever could go wrong went wrong. You ever had a day like that? But I can still lay down at night and rest because I know I'm perfect in him. Not in me, in him. And we don't preach perfection in you. But I can preach perfection in you, in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh mightily in me. Chapter 3 and verse 14. And I'll close. Do you see what I've said now? Now, I could give you a lot more scriptures I've studied on it. But when you fail and fall short, you look in the mirror and you say, I'm undone, I didn't do good. Even preachers say, boy, I tell you what, I didn't preach good at all. I just didn't come together. I feel so terrible about the way it came out. And you're even afraid to ask somebody, how did it sound today? You don't want to know. But I'm telling you something. You're perfect in Him.
Yeah.
And if you preach the perfection of Christ, if you preach His being in you, the hope of glory, you're being perfect, even as He is perfect. And that perfection there means completion, or maturity, or you finally got to a point in wisdom, that word's in there, to where you see it's all in Him and Him alone. My wife was raised in the Southern Baptist denomination. She went to there diligently, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She said the hardest thing in the world for her to do, after she began to come to the knowledge of the doctrines of sovereign grace in Christ, was to sit down, fold her arms, sit back, and admit that she had nothing to do with it. That's hard to come to that. Did you know when she finally did that, though, she became perfect? In Him, in knowledge, gospeling. Now watch this. Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, and I'll not read all those, put on charity. Love in action. Now here's the bottom line. If you're charitable, if you're loving, if you're demonstrating, if you're manifesting your love to one another, He said, put on all these things, and charity, which is the bond of perfectness. If you believe all this, then if you're charitable and loving one to another, He said, that's a seal. That's what a bond is. It's a seal of perfectness. Where is that perfectness? In Christ. Let's sing a song. Thank you for giving me a few minutes here to say that. I'm thankful that Brother Joe came and preached for us today, and trust that you'll remember what SOS means now.